Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Acts chapter 3. Is that where we're at, Jimmy? Did you really? Yeah. He was walking and praising God, and the people saw him. What an exciting thing. Now, this is one of the... how can I do this? Just remember that we're going to learn doctrine. Anytime we study together, we learn what is true and what is not true. We have a healing taking place. We know that Jesus healed during his ministry. Now that the Holy Ghost has been poured out, we see Peter and John. And they're going to lay hands upon this man and they're going to heal him. They don't have silver and gold. They're not giving him what he's asking for. They're giving him something better. And that is always God's way. Now, what we see today in a lot of these so-called faith healers, we see these guys, boy, they really put on a show, don't they? I mean, they really put on a show. They are very, very gifted salesmen. Very, very gifted salesmen. Because while they never actually come right out and say, we can heal you so long as you bring us sufficient money to do it. While they don't come right out and say that, the whole point of having a quote-unquote healing service is to generate revenue, is to generate income. Now, I've heard testimony from people, and I have some people that are sort of writing their testimony for me, because I think I'm going to do a video sort of on this subject. But the testimony I've heard from several people that have gone to one of these healing crusades, like from Benny Hinn or so on, is that they'll go up there and there will actually be people in wheelchairs. People who need to be in wheelchairs because they cannot walk. Those who are obviously ill never make it up on the stage. They never do. And if you watch some of these faith healers on TV, you will notice that the people that come up on the stage, usually it's not obvious that they're sick. In other words, there's no physical manifestation. There's not something that you can see and go, man, they're really sick. Let's see here. You'll never see someone like this guy, like what we talked about last Sunday. This guy here, he was. You could see when somebody doesn't walk their whole life, do their legs look like my legs? Absolutely not. They're all atrophied and there's nothing there almost. And so this miracle took place in the sight of everybody, in that this guy's entire leg, muscular structure, skeletal structure, everything about his legs was recreated and healed right in front of their very eyes, and everybody could see that. That is not what you see when you see these guys on TV. If these men, in some cases women, if these people actually had the power that they say that they had, then why aren't they at the hospitals? Why do they make these people come to the Colosseum? Why do they do that? Oral Roberts, who's now dead, Oral Roberts had a vision one time, Brady, that he saw Jesus himself, okay, 300 feet tall, okay, and that Jesus told him to build a hospital in Tulsa, okay. It's going to be this miracle healing center hospital. So naturally, you know, got to raise the revenue for this one. So he raised a lot of money, built this hospital. Now the city of Tulsa, They came to Roberts and they said, please don't build this thing. We don't need another hospital, okay, in this area. Please don't build this. But he decided to build it anyway. By the way, the last time I was there, it's not a hospital anymore. Okay, they had to shut it down because nobody came to it. Okay, wouldn't make it enough money. But anyway, and I think most of the building was abandoned. They were trying to sell it for office space, is what they were trying to do. I mean, and this thing's huge. I mean, it's big, tall. You can see it for miles everywhere out there in Tulsa. Okay, my question is, why did this thing never, why did not Oral Roberts personally go into this hospital and just go from room to room, laying hands on everybody and say, okay, get up, pay your bill and leave, you're healed. Why did that never happen? It's not of God, it's not real. Okay, it's fake. And you need to understand, and one guy was actually caught in it, a guy named Peter Popoff, and I mentioned him last Sunday, I think. Peter Popoff, who now is back on TV, he was actually caught. Somebody went to one of his healing crusades with a transmitter, with a receiver, actually. And what the deal was, Peter Popoff would act like that all of a sudden God was speaking to him, giving him a word of knowledge. And all of a sudden, Brother Mel, he would call out somebody's name that would be in the crowd. I mean, just, wait a minute. God's telling me something, and then he would call out somebody's name that was in the crowd. Well, you know, whoever it was just amazed. So they'd stand up, and Peter Popoff would go over there, and he would actually name their illness, what they were sick with, and he'd lay hands on them, and they'd fall flat on their back, and this and that and the other, and everybody, I mean, just raking millions of dollars doing this thing. Somebody went to Peter Popoff's crusade with a receiver that could pick up radio signals. And they picked up the radio signal that was being transmitted by his wife backstage, who was reading the prayer cards that these people all filled out with their name and address and what they were sick of on this prayer card. She was back there reading them off to him, and he had a little earpiece in his ear, and he was hearing it. And they captured the transmission from his wife to him and played it. As she was reading out this person's name, Popoff would just act like something was coming from God. Okay? It's fake. It's phony. So he was exposed on national television. This was back in the 90s. Okay? And so he goes into hiding. But, you know, once you got a good thing going, you got to keep it going. So now he's back on TV. Same deal. Going around laying hands on everybody, healing everybody in the world. Selling this. Last time I watched him, he was selling. You would get a vial of miracle spring water from the Holy Land. And this miracle spring water was just loaded with healing powers. And he would just send that to you for free, or, you know, an offering of any amount, and just send this to. And people, the bad thing is, people believe this stuff. Okay, that's why these guys are out there, is because people believe this garbage and this nonsense that's going around. So anyway, here we have a legitimate healing. It's done by the apostles, and they laid hands on this man and they healed him. Now, here's another thing. If you watch some of these guys and you watch them heal, listen to the message that's preached either before or after this. Okay, and in almost every case, it is going to try to compel the people to sow a financial seed into their ministry. Okay, so that's what this is about. And I want you to notice the contrast between what you hear out of the modern faith healer and that whole movement that goes along with it. And by the way, does God still heal? Absolutely. Okay? He still does, he still can, and he still will. We are given a formula in the book of James for anointing someone with oil, laying hands on them, and so on. It's to be done by the elders. The Bible is very specific about that. And it's not, you don't see any place in the Bible, in as far as doctrinal issues concerned, where, you know, it says some guy's got this gift of healing, goes around hitting everybody on the head. Usually, especially in the book of James, this let him call for the elders, plural. Okay, the elder men of the church are to come and lay hands upon this person and pray for their healing. Okay? Let's see here. Verse 9, and the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. I mean, they heard about this. They saw this guy. I mean, it's hard to not notice a guy leaping up in the air, okay? And they just noticed this guy, and then they recognized him. They knew who it was. So here they all gathered around. Now they got a crowd. Now, Peter can do one of two things. He can either work this crowd for his own popularity or his own financial gain, or he can preach the truth. And so I want you to notice what he's preaching. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power," look at this, "as by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk." Now here's what you're going to see. Peter immediately begins to downplay himself. The mark of some of these false healers is that they don't downplay themselves. They upgrade themselves. In everybody's eyes, they have to be popular. They have to be the big guy. They have to be the one with all the powers and all the magic and all this and that and the other. And they're all about promoting themselves, promoting themselves, promoting themselves, as if they are some elevated status. Now remember what I preached last Sunday morning. In fact, I still have it up here on the board up here. God was showing us in Romans chapter 3 the difference between Israel and the Gentiles. And is there a difference between Israel and the Gentiles? Absolutely not, because they're all under sin. Is there a difference between what we put up there, King James Bible believers and a lost man? And the answer is no, absolutely not, in that we're all sinners. So is there a difference between the preacher and the church member? And the answer is no, because we're all under sin. We've all been sold under sin, and we've all hopefully been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I hear God's people say amen to that? Okay? But these people promote themselves as some big, holy, pious, you know, they've achieved this perfect status in Christianity, and they're the real exalted ones. They're almost like the popes and popettes of the charismatic movement, and what it is, it's about self-promotion. By the way, I don't know if you have heard this or not. There's a deal going on with Benny Hinn right now, and I'm not sure exactly what all is entailed. I do know for a fact it's public record that Benny Hinn's wife is divorcing him. Okay, she's had it. She's out. She's done 30 years. And, I don't know. I haven't looked into why, but I probably will. But I do know that the National Enquirer, okay, now before, huh? Okay, the National Enquirer, and by the way, they're the ones that broke the Jonathan Edwards deal. Okay, Jonathan Edwards, the presidential candidate, not only was having an affair with some gal, they caught him and this gal going in his hotel, but she's got his baby now. Okay, so they're the ones that broke this story. And they've been following Benny Hinn around. And there's another gal by the name of Paula White. And she's not quite as big as Benny Hinn, but she's out there. I mean, she's one of these faith healerettes going around telling everybody how wealthy and healthy they can be if they could just give her money. If they give her money, then they'll be all the healthy and wealthy that they'll ever want to be. And she's one of them. Well, apparently, Hinn and Paula have been hanging around each other quite a bit. And Inquirer got a picture of both of them going in the same hotel at the same time holding hands. I've seen the picture. Okay? And so anyway, what these people want to tell you is that they're more holy than everybody else, and they've achieved this big religious status, and they're the elected ones of God, and they have all this power. And I want you to notice what Peter said. He said, "You're marveling, you're sitting here looking at us and marveling, as though," verse 12, "as though by our own power," or what? "Holiness, we had made this man to walk." Peter above any of the disciples ought to know better, and he does. Peter remembers the night when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, And Jesus asked him to watch and pray. And when Jesus come back an hour later, what was Peter doing? Sound asleep. Peter remembers that. Peter remembers the three times that people asked him if he was a disciple. Peter remembers he remembers the exact words that flew out of his mouth that third time. Peter remembers this. And for any of these people in the Vatican to elevate anybody, much less Peter, to an exalted position. Peter, you know, never does anything wrong, and he's Christ on this earth, and this and that and the other. They're lying through their teeth. Okay? Peter remembers, and he's got a right attitude about himself and about who he is. And even though he laid hands upon this man and this man walked, Peter knows better than to take any of the credit. He knows better. And so he said, don't marvel as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. Okay? So verse 13. The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus. And he said, this is about Christ. It's not about me. It's not about John. It's not about, we're going to have healing crusades all across the world now. It's about Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at this, verse 13. I want you to, he's not going to be nice about this message at all. He tears right into him, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Pilate wanted to let him go. And who was it that sent him to the cross? It was you people standing right here. That is, listen, if you're wanting to raise money out of people, that is not the way to do it. Amen? If you're wanting to build a big nest egg for you, and you're wanting to be Mr. Popularity, and you're wanting to, everybody to follow you and have a bunch of money, this and that and the other, this is not the way to do it. You don't go around blasting everybody. You go around building up everybody and tell them that they can have what you have and this and that and the other. And so immediately, the gospel of Peter is not the same gospel that's being preached out of most pulpits in this country. And I'm not just talking about the charismatic Word faith people. I'm talking about the liberal pastors who are patting everybody on the back and telling them how good they are and telling them how great it is, how bad God wants them, and will not preach on their sin and will not call them what they are. But it's working really well financially for them. And so anyway, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One and the Just. And who is it preaching this message now? Who is the one person in this crowd that knows all about denying Jesus? There is no difference, okay, between the preacher and the people being preached to. In fact, I'll tell you what makes a good preacher. Is a preacher that will preach on his sin. Okay, he will preach on his own sin. He will preach on things that he himself has been guilty of. As someone who knows what it's like to deny Jesus. Now, and watch this now, here's what happened. Peter's had the beam removed out of his eye. Okay? Christ removed that beam out of his eye. Now he can preach about people that deny him. Okay? So verse 14, but you denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. This is the kind of people you are. Verse 15, and now he said, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. You killed him. Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. It was not Peter and John Ministries Incorporated. Okay? It was his name and faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Okay? So now he's gonna kind of give them an off just a little bit here. And he says, you did it through ignorance. You didn't really know. God hid it from you. And in fact, here, get this. I was thinking about this earlier. Remember when Jesus went around healing everybody? And he would go around healing everybody, and or he would heal people and say, be sure and don't tell anybody what I just did. You remember that, okay? There is a reason for that, is that Jesus was meant to be hid at that time so that he could be crucified. Anything that was going to be contrary to the plan of God in getting Jesus to the cross. I mean, had they exalted Jesus during his life, had they all not turned their back on him, had they exalted him and made him king over all of Israel and you know, all, put him on a throne, this and that and the other, he would have never been crucified. Would have never happened, would have never taken place. And so Jesus had to be hid from everybody. He had to have it kept quiet. Now that he is exalted at the right hand of the Father, now that he has finished the work, now he can be exalted. And so now Peter, good morning. Good to see you this morning. Now Peter can tell. He can tell everybody about Jesus and who he is, okay? He said, but you did it in ignorance. And he said, that was the plan of God, as also your rulers. Verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now here again, I want you to get this, okay? We looked last time at the first sermon that was preached. It was about Jesus Christ. It was about who he was, how all the Old Testament had talked about him, and this is what he was. Now here we have another sermon. The occasion of that sermon has been the miracle that has been performed. But now we have another sermon being preached. And here again, Peter is laying an example to preachers, ministers, pastors, evangelists on how it should work. The only way to get people to be saved is to get them to confess and repent. And the only way to get them to repent is to convict them that what they've done was wrong. Okay? So, if I, as your pastor, and I was going to be this way, as your pastor, if I were to just come in here every Sunday, tell you how good you were, tell you how nice you looked, tell you how you could have this wonderful marriage, how you could have this wonderful life, and how you could have riches untold, and how you could be successful in business, and how you could be a better servant, this and that. If that's all I did, and I'm not opposed to preaching every now and then how you can have a better life. Amen. Because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I believe in that. I believe that we can be happy in the Lord. I believe that we can have a certain amount of success in our life. I believe that, and all these things are tempered by God. I believe that we can be happy in our marriage. I believe that God will teach us how to raise our children. I believe He'll teach us all these things so that we can avoid some of the problems and pitfalls that lost people are having. Let me just say this. I spent last week down in Branson, Missouri, okay? And Jared, before that, we went on this float trip, okay? On this float trip and down there at Branson, I saw a lot of happy people, okay? Boy, they were just living it up, Brady. They were happy. Woo! And every one of them had a Bud Light in their hand, okay? I heard people talking on this deal, going down the river. And like I said, I saw way more of the world than what I wanted to. I heard people talking about how when they got back, they were going to smoke marijuana. That's illegal, by the way. Except in California, I think it's Proposition 19 on the ballot in California to legalize the recreational use of marijuana in California. Who didn't see this one coming? And why are they now going to do this? Number one, because they want to smoke pot. But number two, why is the government going to legalize it? Tax exit. I watched a documentary the other day about a county up in Northern California that most of this county's income is through growing marijuana. Most of its income in this county is through growing marijuana. Okay? And they say that's going to fix the problem that's in California. That's going to generate revenue and this and that. That's what they tell you when they start bringing in the casinos. Remember what they told us? If we get casinos in, number one, well, they have to stay on the river. Remember that? Okay, and all this money is going to go into the schools, so your taxes won't go up. Remember that one? What happened with that one? Yeah, they're still raising our taxes, aren't they? Okay, and they're not on the river anymore. Okay, and before that, you actually had to have boarding. You had to have boarding pass and a boarding time. Now you can just walk on, walk off anytime you want to. But they wouldn't allow any of these ATM loan machines outside. Now they allow those. Because if you run out of money, you can go borrow some more right outside the deal there. But anyway, where was I going with that? Oh, these lost people out in the world, they just seem like they're really happy. They eat and they drink and they're very, very merry people. And we look at them, we say, well, you know what? I've had a lot of trouble in my life, and I'm trying to live for the Lord, and I'm striving to do right, and it just doesn't seem like things are working out for me. And we look at lost people, and we think that they seem to be happier than us. But it's not true. It's not true. Okay? So don't believe it. Don't believe it. You can create a false happiness in your life if you will just find the right stimulant. Amen? Yeah. If you just find the right one, you can create a lot of false happiness in your life. But it always has consequences. It always does. And it never lasts and it never works. But anyway, you have to convict people that they're sinners. So what that means is that you cannot give, in preaching the gospel, you cannot give anybody a free pass for any reason. If drinking's wrong, then you have to preach against it. If cursing's wrong, then you have to preach against it. If certain things that people want to do, if certain things that people are doing on a regular basis in this church are wrong, somebody has to say that they're wrong. Somebody does. That falls upon me to do that. Okay? What I won't do is be a coward and bring in an evangelist to tell you something that I'm too afraid to tell you. I can't do that. I can't afford to do that. And I have to go stand before God and give an account of that. And there are people out there that like that kind of preaching, and there are people out there that don't. And I can't help it. But that's what Peter did. Peter was preaching to the very people. And we're not talking about, you know, some 80 years after Christ has died. We're talking about, what, about 4 or 5 weeks, something like that? Okay, 6 weeks maybe. 50 days, Pentecost. So that was, you know, we're probably maybe a couple months. This is what we're dealing with. And so we're dealing with the very same people that had him killed for no reason at all. And so he says, verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Peter is talking about the time of the coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about how it's going to be a time. Well, let's see, what word did he use before? I know that he uses in verse 21, "whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." In other words, the restitution is like a restoration, or to set everything back right. if I was backing out of the parking lot one day and hit Jared's car, okay, things are not going to be right until that's taken care of. It's my fault and I hit him, and it has to be paid for, it has to be fixed, there has to be restitution made, okay? Restitution is one of those words that we use in the penal system. If somebody commits a crime, there must be a restitution of some kind. That person must be punished commensurate to the crime that they've committed. Do y'all still believe in that? Say amen. Okay? Until the times of restitution. So the time when Christ comes is going to be associated with a time where there is going to be a punishment given on the earth that is commensurate with the sins of the people. And I don't know about you, but I look around and I see a lot of very, very bad sins in this world, which means that the judgment that's going to come out as a result of that is going to be commensurate with the sins that are being committed. God is not going to have a light hand in these last days. Can I hear somebody say amen? I tell you what, for Moses truly said unto the Father, as a prophet shall the Lord. Let's finish this next week. The bell rang already. But I just want you to think about the kind of preaching that God expects out of the church. Now, that is not to give me an excuse to get up here and be mad at everybody all the time and beat you up all the time for even, you know, I'm just waiting for you to show up so I can lay into you. Okay? I've been a pastor here for quite a while now. I love the people that come here. I love you enough that if God lays it on my heart, I have to say it. And and even if it's something that I have done, I have to preach on it anyway. I have to. Because I don't get a pass while everybody else has to pay. Can I hear you say amen? So anyway, pray for your church and pray for me that we're preaching the right gospel and preaching the truth to people.